bips. The sound of bips. Sound of bips at midnight. Or 1 a.m.
This trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios on the corner of Trash View and Nava Vista. We bip your bips with bipping your bips by warming your bips to a bip rejuvenative bip at 365 degrees Fahrenheit. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Chandler? Can you feel it, Murder Dog? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Oh, baby, I feel it.
Can you feel it?
It's bipping me all night long.
You're all bipped off. Yeah, I'm bipped up. So,
this is the Freedom Fiends.
I'm Michael Dean. Bip you too. Oh, that would be a good. That should become the radio cuss. Bip you. Although bips are a good thing. We're talking about Bitcoin, and we're trying to save
that just
Bitcoin.
Won't die.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, it's going to be kind of like me. It's going to have like one lung and take 75 years to die. What is it? They said that about Selby. They said Selby was dying for like 40 years. Which is kind of true. A friend of his said that in my movie. Hubert Selby Jr. It'll be better tomorrow. Bingo! And so we got this.
Bingo that quickly.
We got this cryptocurrency called Bitcoin that it won't die, but it's not well. And we need to pay a programmer who knows. The programmers that worked on it knew what they were doing. They're good programmers, but they are not programmers versed in. Crypto Note, which is the cryptocurrency we used. Derek Slopey, who is very adept with Bitcoin and has been mining it since you could do it on a Raspberry Pi. Huh, that's a long time ago. He said that, like, looking at Crypto Note code is like, it's kind of like he's a really good doctor, but he's looking through a microscope at a virus from, like, another planet, like an alien virus. So we need some money. We need some Bitcoin. And not you, Murder Dog. You already chipped in. But we need some Bitcoin. I'm sorry, Bitcoin. We need Bitcoin and cash tonight so I can pay.
Yeah, so we can do that.
Yeah.
I think Michael got droned. I think there is a
drone. How does he get droned? How does Michael manage to get droned? Isn't he always crowing about?
He was talking too fast and...
Well, I'll try to pick. Yeah, exactly. He was too excited about Bitcoin. Well, yeah. I think what he was getting at is we need money to give somebody, apparently.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The whole Bitcoin thing was really my first foray into
like,
stuff. The cryptocurrency. There he is. Hello, sir. You're back.
I got droned. Yes, you know, did. It must be the government, because we were actually going to talk tonight about how a bunch of Bitcoin sites have been DDoS'd today.
I blame the government.
I know. They're blaming Russian hackers or whatever. But
well, that's like the new fad, is to blame Russian hackers for everything.
It's the new Cold War. It's the government. It's the false flags of the new Cold War of probably, you know, maybe, who knows? I mean, you know, our government, there's white papers by it's not mine. I don't have a mouse in my pocket. By your United States government, not you guys, people listening maybe. Somebody's, that government that I didn't vote for and I don't have any say in. And, them, you know, they have white papers out there about cyber terrorist attacks and, like, counter-terrorism. You know, the people always... no matter how terroristic someone is, they always think they're doing counterterrorism. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. It's just like one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Right. That's my saying, isn't it? Didn't I say that?
Probably.
About 5 years ago on the show with Nima Vedati. Well, you know, I mean, like, Israel and Palestine are a good example. Like, you know, Israel calls their forces counterterrorism forces. And then, like, the people they're fighting call themselves, you know, Palestinians call themselves their freedom fighters doing counterterrorism, they say. So, you know, the United States government says it's doing counterterrorism to protect our internets. I think Google could do a better job protecting our internets, but the government should just get out of the way. They don't even know what they're doing. They tried to put, did you know that they tried to put a tax on emails
in
1993? Because they didn't want it to compete with the post office. That's like basically something far better comes along and government's reaction is, oh, that will put our antiquated system out of business. We need to charge it more money to exist. Yeah.
Well, it's not like that's without historical precedent. I mean, that's what they did to Lysander Spooner.
Oh, I know. I mean, it was probably examples going back 1,000 years before that in some ways too, but...
And that stuff's never off the table with governments. That's why you shouldn't even bother engaging in any of that.
Yeah. So I'm going to engage in some... Oh, go ahead before I do my pitch. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think I've seen that like similar legislation floated since then. They tried to revive it multiple times.
No, here's what happened.
Different ways.
No.
Well, no, I remember the word.
There was a chain letter. Here's what happened. Early on in the internet, like before the...
Way early, apparently.
Michael is having all sorts of issues tonight. They're after him. It's the government. They're definitely trying to shut him down. They don't want you to get this story out, Michael.
I know, they really don't, man. So what happened? What happened? What I should, but let me finish this. So in the early 90s, it was around the time Joe Biden, when he was a senator, was proposing banning encryption.
Yes, I remember that as well.
They're still trying to do, but now it's like the horse is out of the barn and there's a million horses. They can't put any of them back in. And like even industry is like, you know, like Microsoft doesn't really, they like to comply with the government, but they also, and Google and Apple, they also like to look cool. And this is the cool thing is that to appear cool, they're appearing to back encryption, you know, which is pretty cool. You know, like the we won't hack our own iPhone for you thing from Apple. Like Apple cooperates with governments all over the world all the time. But in that case, they just said, this is going to be good marketing. And it was a pretty risky marketing, too. It was like, we are not going to help you find out about these people who everyone condemned. Like these people who just shot up a bunch of innocents. I mean, they were government workers, but they were like, you know, they were like just people, clerks, county clerks having a picnic or something. So, you know, they it's pretty cool that the market is such that Apple, you know, tries to flex and look like the, basically what I'm saying is it's cool that encryption is cool and that people want it, you know, enough. I mean, to the point where like, you know, they'll, a major giant, like one of the biggest, a corporation, by the way, that a year or two ago literally had more money on hand than the United States government. And the government can print their own money and steal your money. So that's quite a statement. And that company said no to the government for breaking their own encryption. Now, you know, they'll do it for China all the time, every day, all day. But they just didn't do this one because it was a high-profile case. But it's cool that the reason they did that was because enough people think, oh, we want our encryption, that, you know, they won't do that. I've been using encryption since it was hard to use, since before, you know, most BGP. People used it. Yeah, now everybody uses it, you know, because you can just download an app that supposedly has security. Mm-hmm.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Ask WhatsApp about that encryption. Yeah, but, now it's working.
But, yeah, but what happened with that email thing was in, I don't know, 91, 92, 93, something like that. Before the web, you know, when like people were like government offices were actually starting to have email and colleges had email and, you know, they tried to put forth, there was a bill put forth that failed to have a 3-cent tax on every email sent. I'm sure the government would be exempt from their own emails, but
of course.
It failed largely because most congressmen didn't know what email was, even though they probably had an email address, but they never set it up or checked it, you know, at that point.
Yeah, they have AIDS for that.
Yeah, that's give them AIDS. Give congressman AIDS. Give congressman more
that's
AIDS.
Exactly where I was I'm going with that. Thank you, Michael.
Was it?
Yes, no. I meant their assistants, their AIDS.
There's a whole South Park based on this joke, man. It's old.
I'm not going to go. I haven't watched.
Jared has AIDS. It was before Jared, the Subway spokesman, was outed as maybe being a pedophile. It was like he lost all this weight because he has AIDS, and they meant like he had personal trainers and dietitians and, you know, and coaches and stuff, life coaches, but which is true. But you know, they it was like Subway in South Park said, oh, well, Jared does have AIDS. That's why he's lost so much weight. And people got confused. Do you know that there was a diet candy called AIDS, A-Y-D-S?
Yes.
You remember that? Mm. Google it, people, if you're not that old. It's not around anymore.
I don't remember it existing, but I do remember. I've heard of it.
You know, there was diet candy around like 1900 that had a live tapeworm egg in it.
That's spectacular.
That's horrid. It's horrific. Yeah.
Hey, man, whatever does the trick, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking, you know, last night on the show, we were talking about that poor, sad, like used to be somebody libertarian, L. Neil Shumlin. Did you guys hear that one?
Jay, isn't it Jay? Don't always get confused about it. It's Jay.
Anyway. Did you guys hear that whole talk?
No.
Nope.
I have not listened to that one yet.
Oh, we talked about he did this blog post kind of like why I'm screwed. And it was like, you know, basically like he's more famous than me and cyberbags and doesn't get a cent. And we talked about like, why do I cyberbag and get some money and he doesn't get any. And it's because he yells at people. I yell at people too, but he yells at people for not donating. I don't do that. And, you know, so what I was thinking was, would this be a dick move or a cool move if I said, and I'm not saying this, I just want to know what you guys think. If I said for the next month, every dollar donated to me, I will give 5 cents of it to a be somebody libertarian. What do you think of that?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
totally.
I mean, I guess I'm sure he'll see it as a dick move,
he'll see it as
that.
Yeah,
which will probably make it funnier. So definitely go for it then.
Yeah,
I would actually also, you know, confirm that I actually put the money to where I said I would. Unlike Tony Styles.
Of course.
Yeah, it's on the blockchain. It's on Bitcoin. You can see it. Yeah. So, when we get back, we're gonna talk about Bitcoin. But you guys got any comments before the music starts?
Well, I think if just because for the sole purpose of the fact that it probably will annoy him, I think you should definitely do that because it'd be funny as heck.
I'll think about it.
Okay, maybe 2.5 cents, maybe 1 cent.
Worms. We'll be back. This trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
So I went in a roundabout way about getting to some cyberbagging here. I don't cyberbag very often. I mean, if I do, it's for a specific thing. Like, you know, we have ads on the Freedom Fiends that say, give us money. But that goes straight to, you know, the little tiny bit that I get of people like sending me $5 or $10 or $20 here and there. That goes to the expenses of running this show, and like whatever's left over, I buy a burrito once a month or something. It's not much. So occasionally I have like set things. Like last year I needed medical help. You know, this year a few things have come up, but my medical situation is better overall. So someone just wrote me, a good friend, actually Lou Fien wrote me tonight and asked me how I was doing and said that we didn't talk much anymore. And I was kind of sad about that, but I want to give a blanket apology to all my friends and an explanation, but it's good news. It's like, I'm hearing someone breathe really heavy. Stop breathing. I think it's Chandler. I can recognize.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Stop breathing. All right. So, like I'm not even spending a lot of time with my wife, you know, and I love her more than any of y'all. I love you, a lot of you all a lot, but you know, the person I love the most who's in this house with me, I haven't even had been able to spend as much time with her as I want. Here's what happened. I lived a kind of rock and roll life, did a lot of drugs, drank a lot, smoked a lot, quit drinking and doing drugs completely like 22 years ago, something like that, 94, July 7th, 1994. Haven't done drugs or alcohol since then, or the drug called alcohol since then. I did not quit smoking immediately. I actually increased probably my smoking, as a lot of recovering alcoholics do, and started drinking a lot of coffee. I'll never give up coffee. I'll probably die at 106 of a heart attack with a cup of coffee in my hand. Coffee's gonna be here forever. But I smoked until I quit smoking about 4 years ago, and then vaped for about, I don't know, maybe I quit 5 years ago and vaped for 3.5. I wasn't auditioning to tell my stats, you know. That's what I heard a guy say in AA one time. Like, you know, sometimes they get upset if your story in AA, if there's some drugs in it. They're like, oh, go to NA. But, you know, I had a friend who was like a hardcore alcoholic who also did some drugs, who, when he was the speaker at a meeting, would always start with, okay, I'm an alcoholic. My name is blah, blah, blah. I'm going to tell you my story. I'll tell you right up front, there are drugs in my story. But when I was out there drinking, I was not auditioning or planning for AA. So there are, you know, like I don't even remember what date I quit drinking. I mean, I know when I quit drinking, I quit drinking way before I quit doing drugs. And I quit drugs, hard drugs, you know, all drugs. And then, so I smoked a lot. And I'm asthmatic and allergic to smoke. You should know that from the top. So I ruined my own health. It's my fault, but I want to be a cautionary example for people. Don't smoke. Quit smoking. Don't vape. If you're smoking and have to vape for a while to quit, you know, do that. It's less damaging than cigarettes, but it's not safe. Your lungs are meant to breathe in pure air with oxygen. They're not meant to breathe in you know, thick viscous fluids. So basically I got to the point where, and my doctors say this happens a lot of times with people's health, like I was pretty strong and able-bodied and could still go out and shovel snow, well, whatever, while smoking 2 packs a day average for 30 years. Actually, I was up to 3 packs a day the last couple of years, then vaped like the equivalent of about 5 packs of cigarettes a day in vape, and then just collapsed. Like all of a sudden, like you know how some batteries go and go and go and they just go down a cliff? I was like that. Like this winter it'll be 2 years. And I started going to the doctors and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, and I was freaking dying. They were like, You may die. I have to carry an EpiPen. I'm on oxygen sometimes, and I couldn't like move without being on oxygen then. I can now. I can't exert myself without being on oxygen. But so basically I was dying for a year and a half. Then I started to get better, and I'm still gonna have lung damage for my whole life, but I'm not in danger of dying every day like I was for a year and a half. And I'm not exaggerating. Doctors said you are in danger of dying every day. Two doctors told me that. So now that, and like during that time, I could barely do like 15 minutes of 2 podcasts a week. Now I'm doing pretty much most of all of them, and doing a bunch of other stuff. Basically, what happened was I was dying. Now I'm not dying, and I'm making up for lost time. And that's why I haven't had time for friends, except friends that I'm doing projects with. So that's to answer Lou's question and everyone else who's kind of bummed out that I don't have time for them all the time. And I still get really sick sometimes. I only want to tell you like what my morning was like today.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Yeah, we're back.
Wow.
Freedom Fiends, meow, meow, meow. You guys ever see that movie? Do you know why I pulled you over, ma'am? Meow.
Yes.
Super Troopers.
They're coming out with another one.
I've heard talks about that for a while. Is it finally coming out or what?
As far as I know, they've like
the
started.
Movie looked incredibly stupid to me, but that scene I've seen on YouTube and loved it. Because every 6 months someone tags me on that, like someone who's new to the world of Michael Dean and know it involves cats. Will tag me on that YouTube video. But is that did that movie inspire the show Reno 911? Is there a connection?
I think so.
Are there some of the same actors?
Well, I think one of them is actually
Jay. I think it's Jay. I thought Jay was Chandra, whatever. He got the long Indian sounding last name. The guy who does the mustache ride in the first one. I think it was him. I know I can say those two words.
You can say it on TV, but can you say it on radio?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Radio Square, man, huh?
Yeah. Well, those guys made a lot of great movies too. It's the Broken Lizard Film Company, and they did
nice name.
Yeah, Slammin' Club, Salmon and Beer Fest and
Club Dread. Was it Club Dread? Was
Club
that
Dread,
it?
Club Dread.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. They're
pretty funny. Well, Super Troopers, I think, is definitely their. At least that was their best one, as far as I'm concerned. But that was my
favorite.
It's just for anybody who hasn't seen it. He basically tries to the one cop dares the other one to fit meow into his conversation with this driver as many like 10 times.
yeah,
they try to beat each other's records.
All right, so back to serious stuff. I've been interrupting myself for a half hour now. I haven't got around to it. I'm going to cut the chase here. So
focus, focus.
What? What, Jeremy?
I was just going to say you've interrupted all of us enough times. You've run out of chances there. So
I was sexually doming myself on the show last night. Dominating myself. I was whipping.
I got to listen to that tomorrow.
I wasn't self-flagellating. I was actually kind of like just rubbing my back by slapping it with this hard bamboo. It sounded violent. Yeah, it wasn't.
You did that the other night. I was chuckling about that.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, it makes the nerves in the back of your neck tingle when you've been sitting too long. All right, so, and what I've been doing, like, why I'm not even talking to these guys right now during breaks. Like, you know, this is a continuation of, like, you know, where did my friend Michael go? Well, everyone, your friend Michael nearly died and is trying to fit, like, 3 years worth of work into 6 months, you know? Because I really, my whole life, I've had this, not fear of dying, but like kind of planning in case I die. Like, you know, things like having people torrent the fiends and, you know, so if we're droned or whatever. And it goes back to like even when I was a kid, like if I wrote a letter to somebody and I was quite a prolific snail mail letter writer before the internet. And, you know. I would often write a letter to somebody and, you know, I'd finish it like, you know, 10 p.m. at night. And instead of waiting the next day to mail it, I would go for a walk at night, even in a dangerous neighborhood. When I lived in a dangerous neighborhood in L.A. and did not have a gun, I had a cat. I would walk my cat at night. That's not much help. But I would go out and stick it in the mailbox a couple blocks away on the street, like in case I died in my sleep, so that person would still get what I felt was an important work, this letter I wrote. And it even, like, later when I started doing... you know, when I was doing media, I was doing media by then too, but like, you know, if I had, if I was like delivering files for a DVD that was being made, you know, I would like output the DVD and put it in an envelope and go stick it in a mailbox at night instead of wait the next day. So if I die, the DVD still goes out. I've always been like that without ever having any danger of dying. So then I had extreme danger of dying every day for, you know, a year and a half, and then started to get better, and now I'm starting to get better. I mean, I'm not better. Do I say this on the air? I don't know. I guess I say it on the air because I can make fun of it, and it's not like, you know, oh, I feel sorry for me. But I woke up today. This is ironic and funny. I was coughing so hard while waking up, which I often do while waking up. I was trying to call my butt doctor, you know, the people I had the colonoscopy from last year and had some precancerous polyps removed. And I'm supposed to go for a checkup to see if, you know, if I need another one or if I should wait a year. I definitely have to get one after 2 years, but it might be after a year. So I'm basically coughing so hard, I'm crapping my pants while I'm calling these people. And it was like, I had to finish talking to them because it was late on a Friday and they were closing for the day at 4, and I'd been up for a while. I hadn't eaten breakfast. I was drinking coffee. I was just in a hurry to do a million things before, you know, I'm sorry, it was not Friday, but, you know, I was like, I had to make this call. So I'm like literally like cleaning up, crapping my pants while talking to the butt doctor. That's like a good day for me, you know? I mean, that's a good day compared to what the last year and a half was like. And I'm still really pushing to like do things. And what I'm pushing to do right now is make this cryptocurrency work, Bitcoin. So, you know, I'm suffering for my art. No, I'm
so donate. That was
so donate. So yeah. Donate. So after talking about crapping my pants on radio, I've actually crapped my pants on radio, but not for about a year. What?
Not for nothing. But I don't think I've heard anybody take that angle yet. So, you know, why not?
And I'm not, it's not really the lead up to the donations. I'm just trying to get the donation thing out before I interrupt myself too much. You know, more but people ask me all the time how I am. Like, somebody the other day wrote me and was like, hey, can I come by? You know, like someone who lives in my state. And I'm like, no, I'd rather not have guests right now because I'm pretty sick and it tires me out. And, you know, an hour of talking on the radio and I have to go do oxygen during the break and taking the trash out, I have to, you know, do oxygen when I come back. And I don't really want, you know, a guest right now. So, you know, like my dad's 95th birthday was this week and I didn't fly to go see him. You know, I'll probably never see him again. I mean, 95. But, you know, I want to live to 95, too, and half my genes say I can. So maybe I can live to that age. So anyway, I'm begging for Bitcoin and PayPal Cash today. If you can help out, go to freedomfiends.com. Go to the right sidebar. Go down the sidebar where it says donate. Big orange Bitcoin symbol. Click on that. Or the bottom of any post on that site, the spinning coin. Go to that. It tells you how to send money by PayPal or Bitcoin. And I'm asking for money right now to help pay this programmer who's adept in the type of cryptocurrency we're doing to fix it. Now, fixing it will mean one of several things. And, you know, like, it's possible you'll donate this money and the guy will try and won't be able to fix it. And I don't know, I guess I'll maybe give people's money back. I don't know. I'll probably spend it on, I'll probably waste it on something like medical bills. And that's the other thing. Like,
How dare you?
I know. I had like $20,000 in medical bills last year. My wife and I still have a lot of medical debt, but we're not drowning in it like last year. So, you know, if you want to throw in some money for medical bills, that's cool too. No, but I think this guy can fix it. It's going to mean one of several things. It's going to mean fixing the code we have and updating it to a later version of whatever, or restarting it, which would actually mean, like, you know, the BIPs everyone had would be useless. But what I plan to do, what my idea is, I'm not going to say this isn't a fiduciary promise, but what my idea is, I'd like to do, if we have to do that, is do a small pre-mine, but bigger than we did. We did a tenth of a percent pre-mine before. I'm thinking do like a 1 or 2% pre-mine, which is still barely considered a pre-mine. The pre-mine that people are irked about is like, you know, between 10 and 80%. So basically do a small pre-mine to where we'd have, you know, anybody like 1-to-1 BIPs of the new BIPs for the old BIPs, basically. And then also have some on hand for us, for the work we're doing, and also some on hand to like pay this programmer to continue to work on it. And then also pay, you know, other developers that may like come along and make an Android wallet or something like that. So basically, you know, we wouldn't have to cyberbag every time we need to do something. We'd have some in the bank for it, basically. So one of those two things I'd like to do, because Bipcoin is too cool of a thing, and I have a box of stickers, but still, but that's, I mean, that's what, like, Derek Slopey's wife said, like, no, Bipcoin can't be done. I just put the sticker on my laptop. And, you know, a lot of people have been very supportive of it, have continued liking it, have written love songs to it, like Paul Gordon. And, you know, I want it to keep going, and it's a great idea.
He's a little obsessed.
I like it, though. There's a bunch of people like that. So please donate, hashtag please donate, like tonight, like now. Like, I'm just going to sit here and read the dictionary until... No, I'm kidding. That's what... Remember that televangelist, Dr. Gene Scott? I'm going to just sit here and smoke this cigar on TV until I get $5,000 from Glendale, you know? And he would do it for like 20 minutes. So I'm not doing that. But yeah, so help out, please. So I've done please. Some things that have never been done on radio tonight. All right. So I'm also editing... you know, we were joking about this guy last night who, like, wrote some great books, libertarian books, you know, decades ago. And he's like, I need money. Please donate for all I've done in my life. And, like, everybody pointed out, like, that's not how donations for works work, you know?
Oh, but he wasn't asking for donations. Remember, Michael, he specified that. He was asking,
he wanted a lifetime achievement reward for stuff
that's awesome. That's actually the perfect way of putting it.
Yeah.
A lifetime achievement reward.
You know, I didn't say reward, but I like that. I said award.
Oh, I thought that's what you said, because that's actually perfect. Okay, yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he wanted voluntary contributions, I think is the way he put it.
Yeah.
Because, and he specified it was
voluntary payment for services rendered or something.
Essentially, because he said that donations implied that he didn't do anything to deserve the money. Like,
yeah. Well, that's I'm also looking for voluntary donations for something that I'm working on right now, voluntary compensation. I'm working really hard to do this, to get the audiobook of my book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, edited into radio format so it can go on radio on the Freedom Fiends on the weekend, so it can get broadcast to Alpha Centauri and they can hear how smart we are down here and come save liberty. Yeah. Worms.
Well, that's a good worthy cause as well.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to step out for a couple segments. Have a good time, you guys. Thanks for putting up with me.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Now.
So, yes.
We're back.
And maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, I think maybe. We are.
I don't know. It's kind of hard telling these days. No, I think I was talking to you during the break, and you're still on break from the Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival, huh? Just ignoring all the nonsense that people are putting out there.
I've been trying to, yeah. I mean, I've gone back to work, and I you know, doing stuff with my kids, but everything else, I've been on autopilot and just trying to block everything out.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I spend most of my existence these days. I'm just blocking. This past year has killed me with the political stuff. But I found myself today doing something I haven't done in a while, and that was responding to people's political ideology, you know, whatever. You should vote this way and support this guy and think like this because... And, you know, I did the drive-by comments thing. Well, actually, not so drive-by. I was taking considerable amount of time typing comments out, which isn't my style. And, you know, I was like, to heck with this. I'm actually going to write something other than abstract and macabre poetry. And I put up an article on the Freedom Fiends blog. It's freedomfiends.com/blog. And it was just meant to be this simple, what you can do on election day besides going to the voting booth. And I think for the most part, I stuck with that. I kind of went down the rabbit hole a little of why you shouldn't vote and you know, the whole government is immoral and unethical. But I didn't want to go too far into that just because I didn't write this article. Well, I wrote this article because I was just tired of all the nonsense I was seeing on social media and regular media and hearing people say in passing. But I guess I kind of wrote it with the specific bent that I don't want you to read it, Jeremy, because you get it. You think pretty much the same. I think we're on the same page. Maybe your neighbor or... You know, maybe your mother or your aunt or you have your own business, but, you know, whoever, coworkers, family, friends, whatever. Maybe they understand that something is amiss, but they just really can't figure it out. And, you know, hey, you got to go vote because what else can you do, right? I mean, you can't start a podcast or write articles or go out in the street and do activism. Gosh, no.
No, heck no.
No, but so I wrote this for them, and just to let them know that, hey, there's a million other things that you can do to affect change, you know, within yourself, your friends, your family, your community, and there's hundreds of things we can do on election day. I'm making tacos. I've already decided. It's Taco Tuesday for sure.
Oh, well, see, there you go. Actually, I've removed myself from the political system so much, I kind of forgot it was on a Tuesday, because I do tacos almost every Tuesday night with my kids, because they love tacos. So there you go. We'll join you on a Taco Tuesday for election night.
Yeah, so it'll be great, you know. But I really hope that people, you know, whatever, I don't care if you share the article or not, but spread that idea that, hey, you know what, you can go out and do other things that are much more meaningful and beneficial and effective. You know, the title of the article is What's More Effective Than Voting? Well, just about everything. and I mean, you know, if you take an objective look at it, and it really is. And I don't want to spend all kinds of time going into that whole thing. Like I said in my article, there's people that are much smarter and more articulate than me that have written books and articles and everything on this. And you know, it's all just a click away with this wonderful thing we have called the internet. If you really want to learn about that, just start digging, you know, learn something.
Yeah, but see, that's why something like I'm gonna have to check that out. I didn't realize you put it on the blog. I'll have to go look at that. But you know, something like that, like you're saying, somebody, you know, more educated, but you know, more articulate. Okay, great. But you know what? You're somebody reading yours who could just say, "Hey, what's this all about?" Could actually be the gateway to all that other stuff. So
yeah, there you go. Well, I hope so.
Well, you can't know unless you try, right? So there you go, man.
People led me down the right path. Now I hope I can give back. Worms.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPStrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. Hour number 72.
It does feel that way
sometimes. I can't imagine. I got like no nappy time before the show tonight. And I picked up a shift tomorrow morning, so it's going to be a fun, fun day.
I gave up on naps a long time ago.
No, man.
I can run for apparently a good few days of this before I finally crash. So I can usually get through the fiend week and then need a break. Although then my kids show up for the weekend and then I don't get a break anymore. So
yeah, they don't cut you any slack for sure. Hey, so you brought one of your kids to Michigan, right?
No, I didn't get a chance. Unfortunately, I originally wanted to bring both of them. Then I could only bring one because the other one broke her foot. And then the day of, I got a phone call from their mom saying, "Oh, she has a fever and it's pretty high, so I don't think she should be going anywhere."
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, it was probably not a good idea. And, you know, as I was kind of, you know, I was obviously bummed about it, but it could have been worse. It could have happened later in the day when she was already in the car with me.
Yeah.
And then it would have been a very unpleasant trip.
Fiend phone.
There's always next year.
Yeah, there is.
Well, I'm going to.
There's always next year.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Are you feeling better? Or were you busy?
Are you oxygenated?
Yes. Okay. Both. Awesome. I was oxygenating and editing user's manual for the human experience and
multitasking.
Kind of recovering. Yeah. And am I interrupting? I can wait.
No. No. Sorry.
I thought of a, you know, I got off the phone. I was thinking about, like, did I really just talk about soiling myself and talk about it on the radio? I was like,
on national radio. Yes,
you did. On national radio. Yeah. And I thought about, first of all, I need to explain that a little more. Without
no, you really don't.
Well, here's what I was going to joke about too. Was like, I was thinking, like, I kind of wish I hadn't said it, but I was thinking, like, well, you know, make lemon into lemonade or whatever. But I was thinking, don't even go there. Don't even.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
I was in the middle of a sip of coffee when you did that. Man, that's just
If I get enough donations, I won't talk about my bodily function for so many months. That's
quick,
be
everyone. Donate. Donate, please. Yeah, quick.
That should be the fundraising technique. No, but and I misspoke when I said and I had to talk because it was like, you know, 4:45 on a Friday. No, it's Tuesday, obviously, but I've been actually trying to get an appointment with this doctor for a month, including a couple times that I talked to my primary care physician and they called me back on a Friday. Cheers. And then I find out, like, after a month, like, I went to the doctor a month ago. My doctor's out of town, my primary care physician. So I see the nurse practitioner. You know, I say, hey, there's these two things I'm supposed to get this, you know, it's been a year. I'm supposed to get up, you know, tests again to see if I need it, whatever. So, and one of them was to see if I need a colonoscopy again. And one of them was to see... Tomorrow, the next day, I'm getting a CT scan on my thyroid. Because I don't know if I ever talked about this on the radio, but I had a CT scan a year ago, and I have nodules on my thyroid gland, which can be a precursor to thyroid cancer. It usually isn't, but it can be. So when they find that, you have to get follow up, and I'm getting that this week. So she gave me the referrals for both of them, and like she said, yeah, I'll call those in. Neither of them called me back for like 2 weeks, and I kept calling the doctor. And this is just an example of, like, on top of being incredibly sick for, you know, for a year and a half, and then kind of sick for pretty sick for a year, for a half a year. This is like my life now, is dealing with doctors, and I don't know how much experience.
I actually want to speak to that just a little. I have nowhere near as much experience as you have with it. But like I said the last time I was on the show, I finally made that decision that I'm going to maybe kind of start thinking about maybe possibly quitting smoking. And I actually have been doing really well. I've come to that point. I've kind of been like you, Michael, in that not as severe, but all of the sudden things that I had no problem doing really
it happens.
You just, really just boom, wear me out.
What it is basically is, like, you know, the human body, or just bodies. I mean, mammals, you know, animals are like this too. Like, you can deal with unbelievable hardship, and in humans' case, it's usually stupid crap we do to ourselves, like crap we pour into our body, you know, sometimes. But your body can put up with that for decades, especially when you're young. You can, you know, when I was like 22, 23, you know, I would like play a gig with a rock band, you know, get done at 2 a.m, get back to my house, like shoot some crystal meth, have sex with two girls all night long, you know, sleep 15 minutes.
Oh, I remember those days.
And go to work as a bike messenger, like hard work, riding up and down like the hills of San Francisco's financial district area. Huh. Yeah. And you know, if you think that's not very hilly, it's very hilly.
So I've seen pictures.
Yeah. So and it kind of did hit me. You know, I was just like, okay. And I know that basically the few health problems that I have are because I smoke like a chimney. So whatever, gonna quit. And I've already got the plan, and I've got the mindset pretty well down. It's pretty much breaking the habit, but I want to go on the patch. You know, I want that little crutch as well as vaping to start out with, just to get me off the.
Those together will give you headaches, probably.
I vape non-nicotine stuff, and I don't vape a lot, so it hasn't been too horrible.
Pussy.
Yeah. You're damn right. Sorry. Yeah.
No.
So anyway, I call my doctor, right, and I'm like, hey. I don't want to come in and do this whole thing, you know, where you go in and do the visit and they talk to you. I already had to have, like, the tobacco counselor. Surprisingly,
they show you the pictures of my lungs. Yeah.
Oh, they didn't even do that. No, it gets even better. Like, so I call my insurance company and I say, hey, can I get any help with this? Because I'm kind of on a tight budget, you know, and patches are expensive. I bought one set when I decided.
Your state's not giving them away. My state.
Well,
my
they
state.
Were.
This
they,
state is giving them away.
Yeah, Maine got a lot of that, you know.
The stolen money.
Yeah, that lawsuit or whatever.
Actually, I think they get them largely free from the tobacco. I think the tobacco companies pay for them, don't they?
I think that's how it worked, or at least they were part of it.
What it was when the states sued the tobacco companies, in theory, all that money that the state won was supposed to go into, you know, smoking
really
cessation.
Stupid ads with, like, hipster kids. Man, I hate those ads.
Yeah. So anyway.
They make me want to smoke again. No, I will never smoke again, but let me interrupt here for a sec and say, even though cigarettes nearly killed me and they messed up my lungs, and my lungs will always be messed up and I'll never be able to probably, you know, function like a normal human and do all the stuff that the cool old people do in the Viagra commercials. Oh, I can do that. But, you know, like the, like I won't be out riding bicycles anytime soon, but, but even despite all that, like, to harm tobacco did to me, I am not in favor of suing tobacco companies. I think,
oh, absolutely,
I smoked because I wanted to. You know,
yeah, yeah. It's not.
And
their
also,
fault.
I will say one other thing: all the hard drugs I did, cigarettes did much more harm to me.
Oh yeah,
than, like shooting crystal meth and shooting heroin. Yeah. I didn't I didn't do crystal meth that often, and I did heroin. I was addicted on and off for 4 years. You know, it's also the amount. If I did those drugs as long as I did cigarettes, they would have killed me. But
yeah, well, yeah,
but, yeah. But
which that, but
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. I think tobacco companies should not be sued, and I think that crystal meth and heroin should be in vending machines next to the middle school.
Well, that's
the privately owned middle school.
Just the libertarian flash. But no, I mean, you make those decisions. I will say, I've told my kids and my kids' friends this. Don't ever start smoking, you know, because you think it's cool, really, or you, or
it's
you're
the
curious.
Only thing I wish I'd,
but I was never pressured.
The only thing I wish I'd done differently. Yeah. You know, I'm 52 years old. I've lived a pretty crazy life. I've done things that most people can't imagine, and did them on a daily basis for decades. And the only thing I regret is smoking, period.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's pretty much where I'm at, too. So to make a long story short, you know, I talked to the tobacco counselor, and she was like, hey, great. Sounds like you got a plan.
What a job. That's someone's job description?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Public money?
Wow. Well, I've got the Obamacare's, you know, because if I don't sign up for that and whatever, they fine me and tax me or whatever it is at the end of the year. But I will say, at least I didn't think they were going to cover it, but they did. So I have to get a prescription from my doctor, and I called up my doctor's office, and I was like, okay, so here's the deal. Quitting smoking, got a plan. Actually, already started. I bought my first box of patches out of my own pocket. Can you just call me in a prescription for, like, the whole
steps? Hey, DJ, are we ever going to use those patches? Can I mail them to somebody that needs them? Yeah, I'm going to mail you some patches tomorrow, Chandler.
Oh, I love you, Michael.
I know.
You're always mailing me cool stuff.
I mean, they're like 2 years. Yeah, and I mailed you all my vaping
vape
supplies when I quit.
Yeah.
You and Davy Barker. Yeah.
So I just, you know, I was like, hey, can you do that? Well, no, you know, you need to come in for a visit, blah, 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 so we can talk this over. And it's such a scam, right? Because I literally get in there, tell the lady how much I smoke, what I'm doing, and she's like, okay. And she calls the prescription. I did not see the doctor. I timed it. It was 4.5 minutes. That I spent talking to the doctor. Now it costs, you know, $35 copay. Plus it, you know, I had to take time off, and I had to drive because it's in a different town. So
why
I had to do
why'd
all
you talk
that.
To the MD when you could have just talked to MD?
Yeah.
Michael Dean.
Right. Yeah. I should have called you first. I knew it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that is such a, and of all things too, you're trying to quit smoking. Like, they really need to talk to you about that. It's like, I'm trying to take a step to better my life. No, hold on. We have to make sure you're bettering it the right way.
No, exactly. Nobody can help me get off anything unless they've gotten off it. Like, that's the one thing that really resonated with me about going to 12-step meetings. Say what you will about 12-step meetings, but like, no doctor could get me off drugs, no psychiatrist, no counselor, no social worker, no judge. No girlfriend pleading. I like, you know, no band, like cool band that was going to break up if I didn't quit doing it. Like, none of that. It was people who'd done it that helped me do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll be your nicotine counselor. I mean, sponsor. If you want.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. The chick that was like the tobacco counselor was a 20-year smoker, so she kind of got it.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
They can also be like, hey, we're on the Freedom Fiends.
But what are they that called?
Green on the outside, watermelons. Green on the outside, commie on red on the inside.
Inside, yep.
What are we talking about here, fellas?
And it also looks like the anonymous bike. So yeah.
You are completely burying the lead.
I love to bury
isn't
that
we do, isn't that what we do here?
Yes. That's what the name of this show. The burying the lead hours.
Yes. So we came across an article on TheGuardian.com, and the headline is Armed Anarchists Rally at Brock Turner's Home.
No. It's The Guardian, so it's Armed Anarchists Rally at Brock Turner's Home. They say, try this again and we'll shoot you. How's that?
That was perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, it's British. See, I don't know if these people are actually anarchists or if that's what British people think of Americans who protest while carrying rifles.
See, I think that's what they think. And I think it's also just the media slant, right? Because
this lady behind the guy with the rifle, I think, is carrying a anarcho-primitive flag, the green and black.
The green and black flag. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, if you look, there's another picture and it looks like the anonymous flag. It's the green and black flag, but it's
that
another
could
be angle.
Anything.
Yeah.
So. Those people they're not anarchists. Well, actually, now that I'm looking at it, it's green in the middle and black on either side. If it was,
yeah,
the, if
I don't
it was,
know what
it
that
would
is.
Be. It would be the you know the double triangle shape instead of black
and
green.
I don't know what that is.
Yes. Green. So and black, anyway, I think the whole point to this is that. Yes, you're right. These are what British people may think anarchists look like. And I think it's just media spin. You know, armed people carrying guns protesting. Oh, my gosh, they've got to be anarchists.
That's becoming more popular lately. And I think that's actually, because I've actually been seeing that more where it used to be, you know, where they threw the sovereign citizen term up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing a lot more often now that they're using anarchist in the headline instead. And to me, that only means one thing. What people like us are doing is effective.
Yeah, we're garnering attention.
They're trying to sully the name of people who don't want a tyrant leading them. And all leaders are varying forms of tyrants. And the anonymous, what's that that face? Guy Fawkes.
Can
you say that on
Guy
radio?
Fawkes.
He does.
Yes.
But
he was an anarchist.
Can you say that? I don't know.
Was he even an anarchist?
He was in what people consider the traditional sense, you know, the bomb throwing, plotting to overthrow.
Yes,
he actually was.
Yes,
because he was going to blow up Parliament.
The people that wear that mask now, you know, it's also kind of a like one size fits all for any kind of protest, which I think is kind of cool. Like, I think it's kind of cool that there's a populist movement of put on this flag and, you know, anything from like act the fool to actually like do good things to try to change the world and everything in between. But and, you know, you could buy those masks at Black Block, which is a site that also carries, you know, that site,
stuff.
Blackblock.com carries Freedom Fiend stuff for some reason. But they also
and,
have
and
like
you can wear that mask and now that is a reason to get put on a watch list and get detained and arrested because you could be
I can't
terrorist.
Think of anyone better to sell our merch than so and make our merch. So blackblock.com.
Hey, you know, it's funny today. I was telling Jeremy earlier how I posted I've been posting and responding to Facebook and whatever, and I basically did the whole voluntarist anarchist spiel, and somebody said, that's not anarchy, that's Republican freedom. And I just I had to
I love
laugh.
It when people tell you what you are.
Yes, oh, yeah. I know, right?
I don't really love it.
I get told the other day that just because I argued with somebody that I wasn't an anarchist, I was a nihilist. And I'm like, you can be both at the same time. Second of all, I didn't mention anything about morals at all. But that's just, it's so much easier for people just to label you rather than ask questions and actually learn what you.
Exactly. And, you know, I got to say, honestly, like, I throw the anarchist label out there a lot just to stir people up, but I really hate labels because I don't think you're ever truly
one thing.
Yeah.
You know, I got to do a shout out here, like rolling back a little bit. We missed an opportunity. One of the first people I knew in recent times to open carry at a protest was a friend and fan of the Fiends, and I'm a fan of his, William Kostrick. Do you guys know him? He's one of my Facebook friends, and I met him, Porkfest, but I've definitely written to him like 7 years ago. Sort of wrote a song about him. He's inspired one of the Right Arm of Wyoming songs. He's one of the Free State Project early movers, and 7 years ago, I'm going to send you this to put in the show notes, Chris Matthews on Hardball.
Yes, I remember that.
William Kostrick brought a open carried to a presidential town hall with Obama in New Hampshire and stood on the church lawn where he had permission from the pastor at the church. Yeah. And like people freaked out. I mean, he was national news.
Yeah. You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Okay, that's you to come back with that one.
Yeah.
What's next? Child porn, and then the music cuts you off saying FBI.
FBI. Yeah.
We're talking about how the FBI became a child porn producing, distribution network.
Yep.
Hey, yeah, first of all, check your face beefs there.
I did with the Equate. Yeah, that's actually the first.
That's on the gum too.
Yep.
Nicotine gum. Remember, there's people who don't see what you're looking at. Describe.
I am looking at a picture of transdermal nicotine system patches.
Can you say that on radio? I guess that's what they want to be called.
Trigger warning.
These nicotine patches. All right.
And nicotine gum. By the way, I tried nicotine gum for the first time the other day, and I got to say, it tastes really horrible.
Yeah, I heard some comedian last night who said it tasted like, God, what was it? He said something like, it tastes like you're licking the mouth of a sailor in 1800 while people watch. That's how he described the taste of nicotine gum.
I just want to know how he came up with that. But
I know. So, like that's very specific. So yes. You carry guns around. What happened?
So,
show me on the FBI where the gun touched you. No, I'm sorry.
I think it was in like 2009, maybe. Maybe 2008. We had the annual 4th of July, you know, we're patriots and we love America. And I got to admit, I was just starting to kind of see the light and become an anarchist. I was still kind of a minarchist at that point. And I walked around, you know, I always used to open carry a Smith & Wesson 357 on my hip, and I had my Grampy's rifle, it's a Springfield Armory 30-40 Krag, I had that strapped to my back, and I'm walking around town with a Don't Tread on Me flag, you know, holding a big pole with that flag on it, and I'm handing out copies of the Declaration of Independence to anyone who, like,
I was just going to say, you should have also been walking around with, like, an old-timey prostitute with syphilis, and, like, you know, you should have been visiting the blacksmith to have your dental work done. I mean, that collection of guns is pretty, I mean, I'm not saying there's any bad guns, but yeah. I like your 357. I've seen you carrying it. I thought it was pretty cool because you're part Indian and a lot more than 164th Indian. You look Indian, American Native Indian, and yep. You carry a, like, old-timey Cowboys and Indians revolver. It looks like you killed a cowboy with a bow and arrow and took his gun. I thought. Is that racist?
No, I didn't really. No.
I don't care.
But, yeah, so, and you'd think, or at least I thought, being in Maine, that would be such a radical thing to do. Yeah, man, the looks I got from people ranged from shock to genuine alarm. I mean, some people were.
If you were carrying a sign that says, "I'm looking for drug dealers to murder because they're sleeping with our white women," the governor would give you a medal.
Oh, he would have loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, that governor there.
Yeah, that, yeah.
And we are on the radio on one little tiny station in Maine. So
I thought we had two in Maine.
One. Faded, pod faded. Yeah.
Station bummer, pod bummer. Faded.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I guess that's bound to happen to the radio.
One pod faded and the other got struck by lightning and they haven't replaced their transmitter. Let's call it a community station, but the mainstream licensed big station faded and then we're still on one tiny little station in, I don't know, like Caribou Scat, Maine, I think.
Yep, way up
there. No, Monticello.
Hey, we're still on because Derek Slopey is broadcasting LR and .fm. And,
he got hit by lightning.
Oh, did he?
Although, I heard someone in your town is broadcasting LRN.
Yep.
The most powerful station in the tri-yard area. The tri-yard area. Yep.
For sure. So, yeah.
You carried some guns. What happened?
People just freaked, and it scared me. I mean, it made me sad more than it scared me. You know, I don't look very threatening, right?
No. Well, now, I have the converse of that story. When I first got to Wyoming, you know, we came from California, and, like, in California, you know, they say California is the most draconian gun laws in the nation, but actually there's a few places like Connecticut, Delaware, New Jersey, Massachusetts, New Yorkistan, and Hawaii, and Illinois are all worse than California.
Well, no, Illinois is not the problem. Chicago has, I think, has its own laws that are even worse.
But Oak Park, too. Which is where my father-in-law was from, and where Hemingway, I think, killed himself in Oak Park, wasn't it? That's why guns were outlawed there. But there was actually a Second Amendment case because Oak Park and Chicago tried to outlaw ownership of handguns and heavily regulate, you know, long guns. But that was overturned, and now you can technically have a handgun in your home in Oak Park or Chicago if you never leave the house with it, I guess, and you're heavily registered. And
it's double locked and under your mattress.
Register every bullet or something.
Yeah.
And your ammo is in a safe downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. So California. So we moved from California to Wyoming. My story was kind of the opposite of Chandler's story in Maine, like where everyone freaked out. My wife and I open carried here for the first 6 months we lived here until we got concealed carry permits because we were that law abiding and respectful. And of course, you know, I would never do anything illegal, especially with a gun. And now you can conceal carry without a permit in Wyoming.
As you can in Maine.
Yeah. So, but here's what happened when I open carried when I first came here. Nobody noticed.
Well, of course.
I mean, first of all, because I always wear pretty much all black, and I have, before my boating accident where I lost all my guns, my boating accident, I had a black Glock and a black Kydex holster with black pants, a black belt, and a black shirt. It's what I call concealed open carry. You know, it's kind of funny because it's, you are open carrying, the gun is in plain sight, but it doesn't catch the eye the way your shiny revolver would on jeans, you know?
Yep.
But even when I wore jeans or didn't wear, you know, didn't wear black, when I wore non-black clothes, or if I open carried my revolver, which is kind of shiny, my snubby revolver with a brown leather or holster, you know, there's more noticeable. Nobody noticed. I mean, really, I would walk around, like, I would hope people noticed because I wanted to be making a proud constitutional statement like you were, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And no one ever noticed. The only time, I think two people noticed in 6 months. It was, one was in a Walmart, a guy who was shopping for ammo gave me a head nod and smiled, like, right on. And then we were traveling somewhere else in the state, and we stopped at one of those little state-run, you know, stop-and-poop kind of places. And my wife was coming out of the ladies' room, and there was a couple going in the... It was a woman and her daughter, like 10-year-old daughter, going into the ladies' room. And the daughter pointed and said, "That lady has a gun!" and screamed. And the mother, like, shielded her child, like, held her close to her, like... to protect her from the bullets that were sure to come, I guess. And
she must have been an out-of-stater.
We laughed and we were about to leave, but we're sitting in the car and we're like, let's see what car they get into. And they got into a car with Ohio plates.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Maine gets a lot of flack from Massachusetts, right? Because all the illegal guns in Massachusetts apparently come from Maine. So,
is that true? I thought they all came from Pennsylvania and Virginia.
Yeah, well,
that's what they said on CSI, or is that?
Well,
I don't know.
There is actually like, need to talk to my voting sponsor because there's a
voting sponsor.
There's a thing about voting this year, I guess. Bloomberg is trying to get an initiative passed where, you know, you have to register all guns and bullets and, you know, keep them triple locked under your mattress or whatever
nationwide.
I don't know. It's a Bloomberg plan, and they're trying to pass it in Maine. And, you know, thankfully
they're going to let you vote on it. They're going to let you vote on whether or not to get a tighter leash.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Pretty much, isn't it weird? But
well,
yeah.
Thankfully, I won't be tempted to go vote on that if it comes to my state, the state where I live, because if that came to the state where I live, you would have the largest voter turnout that this state has ever seen, and it would be an overwhelming landslide, so my vote wouldn't matter.
See, and that's the thing that scares me. It
would need my vote.
Yeah, in Maine, it used to be, it would have been like that 50 years ago. But now, like after my experience.
Oh, there's Democrats in this state. You know, a lot of them at the college. But also, there's actually my quote unquote state rep, who's a guy I used to hang out with, like, you know, shooting with, who lives not too far away, is being challenged by a Democrat. Like he's been unchallenged for like 14 years or something. And I guess once there was a Democrat, but she got no one took her seriously, but people are taking the Democrat a little more seriously this time because this particular Republican, has been having a bunch of health issues and has missed a crap load of votes.
Oh,
you know, and but he's like, I can do it. I can do it. You know? So, you know, the only other person running against him is a Democrat, and I actually thought about running against my old buddy, but my health's not that much better. We don't have two cars. I'd have to rent a car to drive down to Cheyenne, and when I said, maybe I'll run, my wife gave me, like, the first dirty look she's given me in 10 years. It was kind of joking, but kind of like, come on, baby, don't do that, you know?
Well, you can just run and just not show up and not vote. I mean, hey.
It's more like I don't want the attention. You know? That's the reason. That's why she gave me the dirty look. And you know. if I ran for office, people in this town would actually start listening to my radio show that's broadcast every Saturday and Sunday here. You go, oh my God.
What did we do?
Yeah.
And the guy who runs that station is running for office across the town for the same job, and he's going to win, I think, because he's uncontested and Republican. Yeah, there's like
crazy how that works.
Every state rep in Wyoming represents 4,000 people. I mean, it's a great kind of place if you really want to be involved in politics, because you can absolutely get a hold of your rep here, you know, and then they'll listen to you and do what they want anyway, but they'll listen to you.
Yeah.
They'll go shooting with you, you know. In California, I used to like email. All I ever got, if I got anything, was form letters and probably put on lists.
I confronted Olympia Snow once at a political rally, and she retired 2 weeks later.
What that is. Is she? Are those connected or not?
I'd like to hope so.
Is she? What is she?
She was a federal senator or something, representative or whatever.
Oh, you can't even touch those people here in this state. Oh, There's one congressman. That's how little this state is. And it's a woman, and she's being challenged right now by Dick Cheney's daughter, and I'm worried. I don't know. They're all bad.
Yeah,
it's all bad.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
We're searching for a redemption.
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't be on the internet because, or Facebook for that matter.
You're a lot more likely to find something other than a redemption there. But before we get to any type of,
other than redemption, like other than sex robots will be better in bed than any human being, experts promise.
That's quite a promise, but hey, you know.
Yeah.
You never know.
I don't believe it.
Maybe just for the simple fact of consistency, I don't know.
Old-fashioned, but no. Nope.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, but before we get to anything, because Michael had to step out, but we never actually got to the show title, which he wanted me to mention, which came from his friend, Scott Macquarie. Yeah, there we go. When he was talking about the Free State Project or projects like that, it says freedom isn't an address, it's an attitude, which I wholeheartedly agree with. Yeah.
Totally.
It doesn't matter. See, that's the whole thing. Like, one of the most common refrains people like ourselves get is that, you don't like it, you can move to X.
Right.
Most often Somalia, but wherever it is, you can move there. But no, why should I do that? Because, I mean, on top of everything else, you got to pay an exit tax.
Yeah, I know,
to get out.
Well, I remember, one time Derek Jay and I were doing a show, and he's like, oh, come on, you should move to New Hampshire. We've got the Free State Project and freedom. Well, we see how well that's turned out. But anyway, I was like, why am I going to leave my friends, family, my roots, my community connection to be a part of freedom? I'll just create what freedom I can where I am, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, I have talked about before the fact that I'm hopefully finally getting out of this place within the next year or so, but I have said for a long time that, when people always ask me why you're still there, it's like, well, among other things, I figure if I can become at least even more free than the next guy here, like, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
So why not? So why
where
not
is
do
here?
It?
Here?
in New York.
Yeah.
Very close to New York City on Long Island, which has its own set of oppressive and ridiculous laws. It's not as crazy as the city on some things, but even crazier on others. So it's a nice balance. But, you know, so that's why I've stuck it out here for as long as I have. And, you know, it doesn't really matter where you are. It is a mindset. It's not, you know, technically, can you be freer somewhere else? I guess possibly, but you know,
maybe.
Like you said, I was just gonna say, if you don't have like that community, friends and family, like you were talking about, close to you where you are now, then yeah, maybe that makes sense. If you don't have those connections that you can just pick up and leave, sure. Goes like I'm not gonna discourage people from joining, like. I mean, not necessarily the Free State Project, but I think it's good. Like, you know, in Michigan, they've built up a little bit of a burgeoning anarchist community. I think they're kind of like, you know, right behind New Hampshire and the way things are going with that. Yep. So, you know, it's good to have people close to you. I mean, I realize, you know, that became even more apparent to me when I went to first Borkfest and then the Midwest Peace Liberty Fest that, you know, it's really nice to be in those settings. It's really nice to be around people because I don't have that here. You know, my friends and family have pretty much, I've either abandoned them or they've abandoned me.
They've abandoned you, totally. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like I said on my article, what's more effective than voting, just about everything on freedomfiends.com/blog. At the end, I said something to the effect of, you know, it's about evolution, not revolution. And you really need to be the change you want to see in the world. Live it yourself as much as you can, where you are and within your means, and inspire that change in others. And let's get the idea of freedom to sprout up all around the globe in little pockets. And just live it.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, see, the one thing we touched on earlier about the, you know, the supposed anarchists causing trouble and the fact that that's being the new buzzword they want to use.
Oh, yeah.
It means we're kind of winning, I guess.
We're making a difference.
So keep it up.
Yeah.
Keep spreading the message. It seems to be working so far. So,
yep. They're laughing at us and ridiculing us. We're winning.
There you go.
Well, it's been great talking with you all. Great talking with you, Jeremy. And Michael, who's taking a break. And